Welcome back to Listen in Wonder. In season one, we explored the many ways God speaks to us through whispers, scripture, prayer, and unexpected moments that remind us He's near. This season, we're turning our attention to a theme that touches every one of us at some point in life, God's presence in our suffering. Suffering is never easy, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. But in the middle of pain and questions, we believe God's presence surrounds us, holds us, and even transforms us. This season, we'll listen to real stories from women who've walked through seasons of suffering. We'll ask them, what was helpful, what wasn't? How did God meet them in their pain? And how did community play a role in reminding them they weren't alone? Our hope is that these conversations will meet you right where you are, offering comfort, courage, and confidence, no matter the circumstances. You are surrounded by wonder.
Well, everyone, it is our final Wednesday for season two of Listen in Wonder. And it has been an incredible season to get to share stories from all four of our campuses of the Hills Church. Women who have been through season of suffering, or seasons, plural, and can truly testify that God has been present, that He's a good God, despite our circumstances, that He's a God that comes near and He's a God that provides. He's a God that comforts. So it's been an incredible season. I want to say a special thank you to Reese Billings, who didn't even know I was going to say that, but she has helped record every single one of these stories. And it has been an honor to get to be in the room with all of these women, but also with Reese. And I'm just thankful that she has stayed tethered to the project. And it has been a very special one. So thank you, Reese, for all that you do for the Hills women, for Listen and Wonder, for the Hills Church, but also for the Kingdom of God. We are grateful for you. Okay, guys, I sort of want to say saved the best for last, except they've all been cut. So anyway, previous interview people don't hate me for that. But man, this last story is it's also very special, as every single story has been. I have Taylor Nakumbi. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Oh, yay.
Good job.
Taylor Nakumbi from our West Fort Worth campus. I said earlier, she has not met a stranger, and that is a true statement. But Taylor is from our West Fort Worth campus, and she has an amazing story to tell. One of our gather group leaders at West Fort Worth, Debbie Barber, connected us, and I'm super thankful for that. And Taylor and I grabbed lunch at one of my favorite spots a couple of months ago.
So good.
I mean, you know when you're at one of those lunches where the server keeps looking at you like, are you going to let me turn this table over? It was that kind of lunch.
You're not done talking yet?
And so anyway, we're going to get into her story. And I just want to say thank you, Taylor, for coming. And how do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners of, you know, who you are and kind of like what your day-to-day is like right now? Obviously, that's going to include an introduction to your husband also.
Yes.
So go.
Good old honey. Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Taylor. This has been such a pleasure. I'm really excited about this. So I am originally from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I am an only child for my mom.
Can you say Minnesota, but like with a Minnesota accent?
Minnesota.
Thank you.
From Minnesota.
Sorry. Now she has to start over. Okay.
I do have a younger sister from my dad, but I am an only child, so my mom's my best friend. I met Honey on a dating... Well, his name is Samad.
I was about to say, tell us his full name. Samad Nakumbi.
Samad Nakumbi. He... it's so funny, because at church... Why do you call him Honey? I know. I don't know.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you. I just... When we started dating, I just called him that, and it's just
Does
stuck.
He call you Taylor?
He calls me wife. Wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Honey.
Okay.
So it's so funny at church. I was going to say, whoever meets me first, he's Honey. But if you meet him first, he's Samad.
Right.
And I'm like, well, duh. So you know who's met me first. Mm-hmm. Honey and I met online in 2017 on Plenty of Fish. I don't even know if it's a thing anymore.
That's the name of the dating website? That's the name
website?
Of the
dating
plenty
website.
Plenty of Fish.
Plenty of Fish. Crazy, huh?
Never heard of that one.
It's Plenty of Fish.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And we dated for about a year, and he had a massive stroke. So I feel like, I always say, like, before Honey's, like, stroke, like, before stroke mm-hmm. and after stroke, that's kind of how yeah. I, like, because mm-hmm. there's been a lot yeah. since after stroke, so it's kind of...
Remind me, were y'all engaged yet when he had the stroke? Okay, no, so you're... So you are dating.
Dating. We moved in together in April of 2018, so we met
okay.
April of 2017, moved in together with my mom April of 18, and then May of 18 is when he had a stroke.
Wow. You guys, so this is the part in our lunch when I was like, hold on, I want the full picture.
Yeah.
Like, I want the full picture. Because.
Take a second.
Yeah, take a second, Taylor, because if I remember correctly, you're at home
mm-hmm.
and he had gone to a conference or something.
Like, yes.
He's not in Fort Worth when this happens.
Yes.
I mean, he's not in.
Right. Right. He's in Ohio on a business trip. With a job that he...
And where are you living at the time?
We're in Minnesota still.
Okay, so you're in Minnesota. He's in Ohio mm-hmm. when he has a stroke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So y'all, this is what I'm asking Taylor at lunch that day. Okay, so wait, you got a phone call?
Yeah.
That he was what?
Uh-huh.
At the hospital, mm-hmm. had a stroke? Like,
yeah. Yeah. So I would say, real quick, I would just say my whole life long is but obviously been an only child, but like a wife. Mm-hmm. I'm a nanny. I love a good homeworthy episode on mm-hmm. YouTube. I've been obsessed with that. I love a good thrift. My mom's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel like my whole life recently has been caring to Honey. So back to...
Previous to the phone call, most days were what you expected
them to be. I was working at Target. No, Lunds and Byerly's. Lunds and Byerly's is like kind of like a central market here.
Okay.
And I was a manager, front end manager, yeah. managing the front end in the store.
Most days are what you expect them to be. Most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get this phone call.
Yeah. Just chilling. Honey and I were like on cloud nine. We had just started dating. We knew that we were going to get married one day. We were not engaged, but he had moved in with my mom and I because we wanted to save up. Cause we all of us eventually wanted to move to California to just try something different. And I was sleeping, which I love to do. It's one of my favorite things to do. My bed is my office. I love that thing so much.
Rest is a spiritual discipline.
See, well, mate, I'm getting closer to the Lord
okay,
because I love sleep. So I get a phone call actually from my mom. And the first thing she said was, Honey's in the hospital.
Mm.
I just got a call from his best friend. And we got to get out there. So she had to run home and like... Actually, no, I don't think, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't even think it was a phone call. I think she tried to call me, but I didn't answer. So she jolted me out of my sleep and told me that. So yeah, sorry about that. Yes.
Yeah.
So she jolted me out of my sleep and told me that Honey's at the hospital. We have to go. So we took the first flight down, my mom and I, and then his mom. And when we got there, the doctor was like, we're not sure if he is going to remember you. We're not sure if he'll know his name, who you are, if he'll walk, talk, or drive again.
Were you getting to the hospital the same day that you found out or was
no, it? No. So they actually had to, well, yes, yes. Same day,
okay.
but they called his mom cause they had to do emergency surgery on his brain. Okay. So they had to take part of his skull out.
We have to get on we have to pack, we have to get on a flight, we have to get there, we have to get a car. I mean, like, can y'all imagine, I want to pause for a second. Cause when I was having lunch with you that day, this is what I was trying to imagine. What would that feel like? Everything would just be so frustrating because you're trying to get there, but you have to wait for the, for the flight. You have to wait.
Everything was
at
just
the...
still.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like everything froze, right? Because you, like you said, still have to wait for the, you still have to pack.
Right.
You still have to think about like, you know, I need to pack underwear. Like, right. You know, you're not thinking like how
and
you're going to be there.
And what time is the next flight? Like I'm at the
mercy
of the... I think
it was towards the end, like midday.
Yeah.
Like we didn't get there till later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, we had to wait a while before we could even get to the airport.
That's excruciating when there's somebody that you love states away that
100%.
You're trying to get to.
Yeah. And his mom had to make the executive decision for them to go in and do this massive brain surgery and no one was there.
So
except
when
the person
you get
that brought
on,
him.
When you get on the plane, is he in surgery yet?
I feel like he already had it at that point. Because there was no, like, they didn't wait for that. Mm-hmm. They were like, we have to get this done. It, you know, time matters here.
So then you get to the hospital and the doctor's saying, surgery's done, but we don't know anything until he wakes up.
Yeah. And so what they had to do is they had to take a, they had to cut a part of his skull out, store it in his tummy, so his brain could swell normally.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, why the heck would you store it in the tummy? And they're like, well, it stays sterile and you can't lose it. And I was like, well, I mean, that's a good point, right? I mean, medicine nowadays. And so we got there. He wasn't awake. He, it's almost like.
Which, how old is he?
At he this was 26.
Time. Okay. 20.
26. I was 22.
Yeah. That's wild to me too.
Let that sink in. Mm-hmm. But when we walked into the room, his eyes did lit up and he obviously recognized who we were. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking just like, I was so angry. Mm-hmm.
What do you think you were angry about?
I'm a freak. And I wrote down like 25 things. I think it was like 20. I should have brought the list, but it was like 20 things. Let's just say it was 20 things of all the qualities I wanted in a husband. Mm-hmm. And I had dated before, but like, it wasn't any, like, I didn't, you know, standards. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when I met Honey and he had checked off every single one of those 20 items that I had on this list, I was like, oh my God, this is it. And at first I was like, I'm not going to like rush into this. He wanted, he asked me to be his girlfriend after a week. And I was like, absolutely not. You're a weirdo. But mom's like, he obviously knew. And I'm like, true that, but that's still weird.
If, yeah. You know, a week.
And so I was angry because Honey had checked off all these things. And this is all that I ever wanted, was to be a wife and a mom. And like for Halloween, I would dress up as a bride. I wouldn't dress up as like, you know, a Powerpuff Girl or it was a bride. And so when I walked into Honey, we weren't sure what was going to happen or what our future looked like based off of what we had been planning and what we had in store and all the thoughts and feelings that we were having. I was just angry, like, why? Why bring me this perfect man that I had prayed for so long? And then this happens.
Like, why me? Why now? Me?
Why him? He would give you the shirt off of his back if you asked for it. Why?
I think one of the things that is so sweet about knowing the Lord is knowing that he can handle that.
The anger. Know?
Yeah, like, or like, he wants to be there when we're celebrating, obviously, like, when the date goes well.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to be there, when the things are getting checked off the list.
Yes.
He's all these things.
Yes.
And he wants to celebrate that with you.
Yes.
And then he's also, he's not a God that pulls back when you're angry, when you're sad. Like, read Psalms. Like, every emotion, you know, and he's in it with us, which I think is kind of fascinating how we've been talking this whole season about he's present in our suffering. He's present in our rejoicing too.
And our happiness,
but like,
too.
No matter where your heart was at and what it was processing, that's okay. Like, sometimes I think people think they have to come to the Lord when it's all figured out it's all pretty.
No.
And he's like, no, come to me. Come to me now.
No. Yeah. And I had always had a relationship. I grew up going to church. We went, mom and I, at least twice a week. I cannot eat Boston Market because we used to go every Wednesday and it like makes me want to like vomit the thought of it.
Overdid it on Boston Market.
But I had always had a relationship and knew him. But I tell Honey this, and I tell anyone who asks, that after Honey's stroke, so go back to cut to back, we're all over the place here, people, pay attention. Going back to when Honey had a stroke, that night mom and I went to the hotel and all I did was cry. I was just like, yes, be positive and hopeful, and but like, there's a mourning of how I was feeling and the thoughts of like, well, is he going to come out of this? And what if he doesn't? And what, you know, like all the what ifs.
So many what ifs.
There's so many. Oh my gosh. So many what ifs that I was like, the only thing that I can do right now is just cry and to get it out, because if I were to verbalize this, mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd be able to, you know?
Yeah.
And so after he, we figured out that he, suffered, it was a right side stroke. So, or a left sided stroke. So his right side was affected. Mm. And
is he right-handed?
He's right-handed. And I basically was like, on the way there to mom, I was like, I'm not leaving until honey comes home. Mm-hmm. And of course she's like, oh gosh, how are we going to do this? Like, you're going to quit your job. Right. Mm-hmm. So I quit my job. Mm-hmm. Mom was our breadwinner. She took care of us both. Mm-hmm. He had only brought work clothes. So we had to buy all his like therapy clothes, which is basically like athleisure. Mm-hmm. And then he was in the ICU for about a week, I want to say, in the hospital for overall, I would say like 2 weeks.
When he was in ICU, you probably couldn't stay. Or could you?
You could stay.
Okay.
But I think it was healthy for us to
sleep
away, just to like have a clear mind the next day, mm-hmm. and not be, and like actually try to, I mean,
but he's really not rest, talking to you when he's in the ICU. He's just opening his eyes and looking at you.
There's no words.
Yeah, there's no words.
There's no words. He can't write. There's no sign language. There's nothing.
Those are long days.
He cannot communicate whatsoever.
I don't know that we've talked about this, but there's this weird thing called hospital time to me. And it's like, it feels so long, but you're like, you look down, you're like, it's already past lunchtime. Like it's already past, like, I don't know what happens in hospitals it's with like time, but it's like, it feels so long and so fast at the same time. Yes. It's just weird.
Yes, I agree. So about 2 weeks after, vaguely, you guys, it was in 2018 that he had a stroke. So just trying to think of the times, but he went to an in-house rehab facility and he was there for about a month and a half, I want to say.
In Ohio. So you're still in Ohio.
I'm still in Ohio. Mom had gone back. His mom had left. So it was just honey and I in a state we didn't know. Uh-huh. I was able to... This is a God wink here.
Yeah, tell our listeners, because this is part of you testifying that God is present and he is a God of daily bread.
Here it is.
Yeah.
So it was a family member of ours did a GoFundMe, mm-hmm. and was just like, basically someone had a stroke. Taylor's in Ohio. She's going to stay there until he comes back. Help. And we were able to raise all of the money for my mm-hmm. stay. So there was not one penny that came out of mom and I's pocket for the whole time that I was in there, that I stayed at the hotel down the street from his rehab facility. And I think in the moment you're like, okay, how are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. How mm-hmm. are we going to get money so Taylor can stay, so she can be the support system mm-hmm. for Samad? How are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. The stress level I can imagine mm-hmm. for mom, and mm-hmm. the relief.
Yeah.
And we're like, even though this is not the plan that we had planned in our brains and how our lives mm-hmm. to go, like just like the little things like that.
Yeah.
That you're just like, okay, God's with us. God mm-hmm. has our back. Mm-hmm. God's like, I understand that this is a lot.
Yeah.
But this is one thing that we could just help further along mm-hmm. this process mm-hmm. so we can focus on what matters, which is Samad and getting him better.
Yeah.
So Samad and I stayed. Our days look like there. Well, I got up usually around 8. Stopped at Starbucks. Someone sent me gift cards for Starbucks, which mm-hmm. was so sweet. Mm-hmm. I was stopping at a Starbucks and a breakfast sandwich, go to his rehab facility. He was usually eating breakfast at that time in like the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. At this point, he could not write. He could say his word was thank you or Wednesday. Mm. And so just depending on how his tone is, I figured mm-hmm. out like what that meant. So like Wednesday, like all the different tones.
So he was saying the same word Wednesday with different tone,
pointing.
Wow.
Whatever. And so I tell him now that this is funny. We always look back on this uh-huh. and laugh because I'm like, honey, when your voice changes now, mm-hmm. it's hilarious because I'm like, honey, you have an attitude. And he's like, mm-hmm. no, I don't. And I'm like, honey, I studied your voice
for a month and a half.
For so long. Longer than that. I mean, years. It's like, I know when you're upset. Okay. Mm-hmm. So don't try to fool me with that. But yeah. And then I stayed there for all day. He had therapy. So he did occupational, physical, or what is it? Occupational. Like
physical therapy, occupational physical, therapy.
Yes.
Speech therapy.
Yes. All those, which she said. And there was also, it was just like kind of like we played games and like listened to music. It was just like a recreational. Uh-huh. Shout out to everyone in Ohio because they were the best. We actually, the co-author of our book.
Mm. Yeah, we're going to talk about
is the book. Our speech pathologist. But yeah, so we, that was it. That was our daily life for.
Because it's like therapy and then month rest. And
yeah.
Right? Because it's exhausting.
It's exhausting for him. And I mean, he did like at least 10 hours a day.
Gosh.
I would say, you know, between taking a nap and, you know, doing mm-hmm. stuff and learning. And it was wild. One of the first times we walked into the speech pathologist's office, she played a song, which his favorite is Michael Jackson. Mm. And he was able to sing the song.
Wow.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
You can't tell me my name, uh-huh. but you can word from word sing Michael Jackson. How does that happen? The brain is wild. And so, yeah, we just chugged along. And a lot of people ask me, like, how, like, what got you through that time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I often have to, like, stop and think. The answer to me now comes so fast, obviously Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of the time people are afraid to cry it out or to like feel the feels,
mm-hmm.
like feel the feels, yeah. feel angry, feel like you're.
Because if you don't, you're choosing, you're, well, you may not be choosing. That's a harsh word, but it keeps you stuck.
100%. And I think a lot of the time people are like, you and Samad's mindset during that time, like there was nothing but hope.
Yeah.
We could not think of anything but hope during that time.
Did you ever say out loud, like, how do people do this without Jesus?
100%.
Yeah.
Because there's also people that didn't have a me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like one of Honey's neighbors, he didn't have anybody mm-hmm. that came and visited him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how is he mm-hmm. like, obviously, hopefully he's a believer, but like, how is he doing that?
Yeah.
Because I mean, you don't know, but
a gift that you're able to be there.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. So I think I would say feel all the feels for us. We were angry. We were upset. Honey, I mean, we would both, like, we would leave at night and he would cry. I would cry. Like, just, mm-hmm. it's just like the mourning of the life that you mm-hmm. had, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But hope and the Lord, 100%.
It's mourning the life you had and it's mourning the life that you don't know if you're going to have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the hardest things that I deal with now.
Mm-hmm.
Is yes, I want to use our story for good. And that's why we wrote our book. But also, like, you know how some people are like, oh, you know, what's your marriage advice? And some people say, oh, it's like, remember, like when you guys were dating, like, just remember that time. Like, what, mm-hmm. what was that like?
Mm-hmm.
And I often is like, yes, people change. Like, I'm sure when you met your husband, you guys aren't the same. You change over time
yeah.
as you grow and you get, you know, you grow together and grow with your relationship with the Lord. But also, like, I almost feel like it's a different kind of growth in the sense of, yes, Honey's still the same Honey. He's mm-hmm. still the same Samad
mm-hmm.
that I love and fell in love with. But there are things that are changed,
yeah, forever. You know,
like his forever. I mean, mm-hmm. his right hand, he can lift it, but he can't wiggle his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
His right legs, I'd say about like 70% back. His speech, if you give him time, he'll get mm-hmm. his story across and his point across. But
mm-hmm.
Mom and I used to joke all the time that like we never had met anyone that talked more than us
mm-hmm.
until we met Honey, until we met Samad. And now it's like, okay, he's still talking, but just in his own
uh-huh.
way. So it's also, too, like the
but
people that
But truthfully, you're probably more aware now that most people are in a hurry and they don't give him the time to say the things 100%. That he needs to.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're just more aware
uh-huh.
of people's impatience and...
Yeah. It's so sad.
I know.
So sad. But it's also to think that, like, when we have kids one day and, like, our nieces and nephews, like, they don't know the... Mm-hmm. before strokes him on.
Yeah.
That's who I love. And like the fact that my kids will never get to meet that
Does
person.
Does he drive?
He drives. He's on his own. He's like ripping and running. He drives. I mean, he's like on the go.
Cause when we're talking about we didn't know what our life was going to be like. Mm-hmm. You don't know if he's going to drive. You don't know if he's going to walk. Nope. You don't know if he's going to work. Nope. You don't know like any of those things.
It's okay. Here's another God shot. So on our way back, we had to drive. We couldn't take the airplane because of obviously reasons. Mm-hmm. So we, my cousin and I and her mom and my mom and honey all drove. They drove down, picked us up. We drove back. She was a huge support system too during that time. She's also my best friend. And we stopped at a Starbucks. Obviously, I have a Starbucks.
Taylor loves Starbucks, you guys.
I just love a good... During the Thanksgiving...
She's got her holiday cup right now.
Thanksgiving and Christmas, they have the caramel brulee latte, my obsession. Get it with one less pump of the caramel brulee because it's too sweet. But we stopped at Starbucks on the way driving from Ohio to Minnesota, and it was in Chicago, I believe. And honey, like, just started fixating on this person. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're all like
what's happening?
Ooh, yeah, hello? And... he like pointed at her leg and we're like, okay. So then we looked up and we pointed at her arm and she had an arm now like at honey where it's flaccid. Mm-hmm. She had this little device on her leg that he now has, which another God shot. There's so many God shots. He was able to raise the money. I think it was like over $5,000 for this leg thing to have it work. And he was able to raise that money, Lord willing, or, you know, thank the Lord. But he had went up to her. He was like, Wednesday, needed to go talk to her. So we rolled him over because at this point he was in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, you know, my son-in-law just had a stroke. Did you have a stroke? Mm-hmm. And she was like, yes, I did.
Wow.
10 years ago at the time, I had a stroke. And my mom was like, he saw you walking in from driving and wanted to talk to you. And she was like, just keep going.
Oh, my goodness.
It's hard. It's so hard, but just keep going. And all of us are like, our eyes, right? Welled up with tears. We're bawling.
Because that's just not something that you see very often, right?
And like at a Starbucks, I don't believe in coincidences, okay? Right. I believe in Jesus.
Right.
Okay?
Right. He's so orchestrating everything.
100%. And so after that, honey's thing was, I want to walk, talk, and drive again. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so after that, I felt like, he just skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. And that was his goal. I think a couple months after that, he was able to retake his driving test. So he was able to drive. Mm-hmm. We obviously had to switch the pedal because he obviously couldn't use his right foot. So he uses his left foot that, you know, brings it over to it's a lot. I mean,
is the accelerator on the left side of the brake?
Yeah. But it moves over to the right to accelerate, obviously, the gas, and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's another science lesson that I don't have time for. And he's talking. Like I said, you give him his time. We get his point across. He is very animated. Mm-hmm. Like, so animated. I always tell people to go watch. I have a YouTube channel. And I had honey do my makeup when we were dating. Oh, so you can really see his, like, true personality. Uh-huh. Hilarious. Yeah. So funny. So he's walking, talking. He's driving. He's currently finishing school.
Yeah. He's very determined.
He's very determined. And a lot of people were like, hopefully he graduates in May. So please say a prayer for that. That is like what we've all been just like hoping and wanting. But I think a lot of the times in Ohio, a lot of people asked him like, you're like drive. Like they're like, we just never met someone before like you, Samad, because you have drive and you have perseverance. Mm-hmm. And if someone tells you no, like you fight harder, like how is it? And I think a lot of it has to do with how he was, his upbringing was a little rough and he's always just had to persevere and keep going. And that's just who he is. That's how God made him.
I was going to say, that's how God knit him together.
That's just who he is. Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, his drive and who he is as a human, I think too, once we moved here, so we were in Minnesota.
I was going to say, what brought y'all from Minnesota to Texas?
Yes. Good point. So, we were in Minnesota. We came back. It was a week before his birthday, the year of his stroke. So June of 2018, he had to get his surgery back in, or, you know, his skull back into his head. So that was in September. And he was like, I just, like, we already knew we were going to get married. Yeah. It was kind of like we already were, but like we just needed it to be official. So he asked mom for my hand in marriage. And the honey way with the Wednesday and, you know, whatever. But he was starting to use words at that point. So I don't remember exactly how it was, but we got married within a week. We planned a wedding in a week, got married at our, we were in an apartment building. So like at
the community room.
Yeah. with like closest friends and family, and then had a surgery put back in September, his skull put back in September. And then my mom decided to move to California because that was just a dream of hers that she'd always wanted to do. We were still, honey and I were good. He was going to therapy still, not as often, but definitely went. When we came back, I was still his caregiver, took him to a therapy appointment. So like I handled therapy appointments, medicine, those type of things. Mom was more business. So like social security and things that like my brain can't comprehend. Like I don't understand that stuff. And so September, no, it was, I guess it was, I should like do a timeline.
That's your homework assignment.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to say it was March of February of 2020. Well, we all know what happened in 2020. Okay. World can't forget about that. And my mom decided to move to California before we found out that it was COVID. She, was there when it was announced that it was COVID. So she was able to come back and work from home with us, which was nice. So she wasn't in California, she's at home with us. And then October of 2020, we were like, mom's like, well, I no longer have the job because I lost it due to COVID, but we had already planned to move down there, and she had gotten this second bedroom for us, like moved into a bigger apartment because we were all coming down. And so she's like, well, I guess we'll just keep going. Let's just let's just do it. And I'm like, I mean, we got nothing else to do. I mean, we're all just going to be sitting looking at each other anyway. So might as well be in California.
Might as well be in California.
Yeah. And it's so funny because she never let me have, like I said, I'm an only child. She never let me have a dog growing up. So when she left in February of 2020, I was like, I'm getting a dog. That's the first thing I got. So Emmett is our mini golden doodle that we got. So he's a COVID puppy. So he's very, you know, like that. So then we moved to California. We all got COVID during that time. We traveled a little, and then no jobs were hitting for mom. And at this point, think about it. Mom still was our breadwinner. Yeah. She's the one that made us live and how we ate and how we, you know, whatever. So, she ended up applying for jobs truly everywhere at that point. She was just like, I don't care where we go. We just, I just have to have, a job, you know? Yeah. So we prayed, kept applying. Finally, Texas hit. She was, she's in property management. So she was at a property in Aledo, which we loved, obsessed with it. And unfortunately had to leave for, you know, better opportunity that God laid on her hands. And so she is now somewhere else and, you know, all the things, but for a job, mom's job is why we ended up in Texas.
And that's what led you to the hills.
Yes. So when we first moved here, we had no idea. We had never been here before. No idea. Have not been to Texas. Well, we've been to Texas. Port Aransas, not Port Aransas. I don't even know. It's way down south. Not Port Aransas. It was another place. My mom was previously married and he had family there. But we never had been to Texas before. So we're like, where are we going to live? Yeah. So I was like, okay, let's just Google. I mean, what else do we do, right? Dr. Google. It's like, Realtor Google, where do I go?
Before people are here, they have no idea that Dallas-Fort Worth is so big.
Well, because, you know, Minneapolis, Minnesota, I think Minneapolis-St. Paul, which is called the Twin Cities. So you're thinking like, they're like just a bridge over. No.
They're
Fort Worth and Dallas are like hours apart, and it's huge. So we ended up getting like a rental house south side of Fort Worth. Not the best of area now that we know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did it. We lived there for about a year, and then we bought a house in West Fort Worth. Well, we know what West Fort Worth is. West Fort Worth campus of the hills. Yeah. Our house is literally across the bridge from the hills.
So great.
And while we were here, honey, what we usually did was honey would go and tour a church. And then if he was like, yeah, you guys are gonna like it, you aren't gonna like it, we'll go check it out. So he did that with the hills, and we went and checked it out, and we haven't left.
Yeah,
we've been here since.
You know what's the sweetest thing, Taylor, is that I've been at the hills long enough, probably before you were born, but we don't have to go there.
We won't talk about that.
One campus church, and then when the Lord just brought our leadership to the vision of multi-site, and West Fort Worth campus at first was inside the loop before. I mean, it was like in a movie theater.
Oh, yes.
On 30.
Yes.
And then, I mean, just how the Lord has done all of it. Then where the property is now outside of the loop. And I just remember hearing conversations about, like, there's so many homes that are being built in that area. Yeah. And so many people were praying that the Lord would bring families mm-hmm. from those neighborhoods mm-hmm. into that church building.
There you have it.
And so to think
Flattergraph home.
You guys are an answer mm-hmm. to a prayer that you never heard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and, but it's just really sweet to,
awesome.
To think about him going into that building to see, is this going to be a place where this is going to be family for mm-hmm. us?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that that prayer had been prayed over those neighborhoods, it's mm-hmm. just really sweet to think
so
about.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Honey is, he does, his passion is IT.
Mm.
And I'm like, don't ask me anything else other than like, what does your husband
do? It's a foreign
language. Computers? I don't know. A keyboard? Mouse? I don't know what you want from me. But he is on the, like, he does slides on mm-hmm. Sundays. He loves
he
doing that. He serves. He does the home team. He does respite. I do kids ministry. I'm with the babies.
Mm-hmm.
We've just kind of, I will say too, since moving to Fort Worth and being a part of the Hills family, I've seen a huge difference in Honey.
Mm.
And I think a part of it is obviously the trials and tribulations that we've both been through, but taking a look at like his life and where he was and like where God has brought him,
mm-hmm.
I think really like resonates not only with me, but for him and for us as a couple. One of the things that we struggled with, I don't know if he'll kill me for this. Probably not. We're an open book. You guys can ask us anything. One of the things that we struggled with when he had a stroke was anger. Not only like for me and like the, like, why me? But for Honey, his words, right? He couldn't get the words out. And can you imagine how frustrating that mm-hmm. is? You know exactly what you want to say, but getting those words out is the hardest. So he had obviously a stroke, but he had his aphasia, which is basically in layman terms, just like hard to get your words out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times he would get feisty and snippy and mm-hmm. angry with me because I couldn't understand. And I'm like, honey, I'm doing the best as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're on the same team here, mm-hmm. homie. Okay.
Right.
And I think he had to take a step back. Like, okay, God gave me Taylor, right, to go through this journey with, mm-hmm. but also I'm trying my hardest. We're both trying our hardest. Right. We have, all, I mean, there's, the first year of marriage, first couple years of marriage, you know, I just like, some people don't even imagine or even go through
mm-hmm.
what we have been through in like the year, the first year, couple of years of marriage. And so I think it made him look, take a step back and look at where we've come from mm-hmm. and how far we've come and trusting that the Lord has a plan. And the plan that we obviously had wasn't the plan that God had.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the hardest, but his plan is always better than one that we mm-hmm. have for ourselves.
Well, and honestly, Taylor, in this whole semester of hearing these stories and kind of really sitting in it, I'm like, maybe it was his plan that Honey would have a stroke. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe mm-hmm. it's that brokenness came into the world. And so mm-hmm. our bodies are not perfect,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that, the Lord goes, okay, that wasn't my plan,
mm-hmm.
but because we live in a broken world, these mm-hmm. things happen,
mm-hmm.
but I do have purpose for him.
Mm-hmm.
So even when the thing happens that is not in God's plan, he can still bring purpose
mm-hmm.
in it. And so
that's a good point, because I think too, I was like angry at God, but I'm like, but I don't know where to put that anger. Should mm-hmm. I be angry at God? Should I be angry mm-hmm. at the world for creating yummy food that we all want to eat and we have mm-hmm. diabetes? Like, who should I be angry at?
Yeah, I know.
Who am I angry at?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's a really good point that may not have been his plan, but there is a purpose. And mm-hmm. even though
from the time he knit Honey together, he had purpose for him.
100%.
And so even though these circumstances happen, like for him, it was a physical tragedy,
mm-hmm.
for somebody else, it might be job loss or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not necessarily God's plans for us, but he does have purpose in it.
Mm.
And so he's such a good God. He's working with everything in this broken world and still,
mm-hmm.
Giving us purpose.
Yeah.
And Honey's choosing that too, right? Like he's choosing to do the work every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's choosing to serve, use his gifts and talents for his church family.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is participating with the Lord in that.
100%.
But yeah, I think that's a hard question to wrestle with. Like, why do bad things happen to good people?
Oh, and yeah. That's like the $1 million question. Yeah.
Well, okay. You already alluded a little bit to something that was super helpful. Like, because you were states away, you're like, people giving, like, just so generously.
Amazing.
That was super helpful in your story. What are some other things that you would say were helpful or maybe are still helpful? Like, that people do when something difficult is happening. What have you learned that's helpful?
Okay, so I touched briefly on feeling the feels. That's always helpful. And letting mm-hmm. people vent, like vent to the person or mm-hmm. not necessarily, you don't have to, you're not going to 100% understand mm-hmm. where I'm coming from, but just listen.
Brenda McAdoo, you know, the moderator.
Yes.
She says this so well, like a tip. Here's a little tip for y'all. When something like this is happening, to ask the question, do you just want to vent or do you want me to try to fix it?
Yes. I listened to that and I was like, that is a...
Because sometimes people just need you to listen.
Yeah.
And it's like frustrating when they're offering solution after solution and you feel like I haven't even been heard
sometimes yet. That's how I feel like with Honey. I'm like, yeah. Honey, I don't need a solution. I just need you to listen. Mm-hmm. Zip it and open your ears. Thank
yeah.
you. So yeah, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. So feeling the feels, I think being angry, obviously prayers help.
Knowing you were prayed for.
Knowing that like, I was would prayed people for sometimes... and praying myself. I yeah. mean, you know,
say that again.
I was like, yeah, the prayers are great, but praying myself, like what was, I'll never forget this. Someone asked, or someone was like, have
but
a
you
relationship
were willing
with God.
To feel the feeling. So you knew what to talk to the Lord about.
Yes. But someone was like, talk to God as if you're sitting in a coffee, you're sitting at Starbucks, Taylor, with your caramel brulee latte. Talk to him like that. Like you're just sitting yeah. With him. And yeah. I was like,
that was helpful to you.
So helpful. Mm-hmm. So at night, whether it was wine or mm-hmm. just my tears, mm-hmm. I just felt the feels. Mm-hmm. Another thing was helpful, and Honey would say this over and over again too, is patience with him. Mm. Because we're always, I think when someone asks you, how are you doing? Do you actually want to know? Or are you just asking because it's a polite thing to mm-hmm. do?
Right.
When I ask you, I want you to tell me like, mm-hmm. where you at? Mm-hmm. Homegirl, like
yeah.
give me the deep down ugly dirty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do surface level really well.
Yeah,
so yeah. I like to just like get in there a little. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But being patient with Honey is really important. I'll never forget. It was his first outing that he was so excited to go on his first outing to Target mm-hmm. after he got his license, and or not like got his license, but like you know was
yeah,
able,
he's
to,
able to
you know drive again, and someone was not helpful
mm-hmm.
and not nice.
Mm-hmm.
And like my mama bear claws yeah. came out because he told me later. But I was like, imagine. And I think too, like step back. You're like, okay, that person probably is going through something, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But it's also like, yes, you're going through something. But that person that you're also trying to help or is trying to ask you to help you find something mm-hmm. is also going through it. So yes, yeah. the person that he's asking is going through something, but also Honey. It's mm-hmm. like, how do we get on a surface level, you know, playing field? So that we both can
yeah.
just get our point across. Like, you work here, he needs help. How are we going to mm-hmm. do this? And I think a lot of the time, that was one thing that he, I think, really noticed. And now he says, like, I had a stroke. Give me a second. Mm. But at the time,
mm-hmm.
it was just like.
Yeah, he didn't have that tool yet.
He didn't have that tool. And, of course, Mom and I would, like, finish the sentences for him. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, right. Honey, I know exactly what you want to say in the tone you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was really helpful for him to get a job and to do those things on his own, to go to Target yeah. or, you know, go on a walk or, you know, mm-hmm. something that he wasn't with Mom and I because we just wanted to help. Yeah. And even though we were helpful, mm-hmm. it wasn't helping him.
That is such a profound statement.
Mic drop.
Even though we were wanting to be helpful, we weren't helping. Like even like with the intention of wanting to help somebody you love,
mm-hmm.
it is really hard to let them do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also like, oh my goodness.
It's kind of like a toddler too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Being a nanny, I just like think of all these things back to kids because mm-hmm. kids are great. But yeah, so I think it was good for him to do things on his own and be out of his bubble and like be him again, mm-hmm. right? Because for so long he depended on me like to be his driver mm-hmm. and like go to appointments with him, and he's like, okay, like I love you and I appreciate you,
but I need to do this.
Yeah, back up. A lot of the times too, there was my verse that I always go to. You mm-hmm. asked about this earlier, mm-hmm. and my verse is Romans 12:12. Mm. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful mm-hmm. in prayer. Mm. And I could not tell you how long that was my screensaver on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. again, hope is all I had. Mm-hmm. There's also this song. What is it? I think I wrote it. Firm Foundation. Oh, I've still got joy in chaos. Mm-hmm. I've got peace that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I bawl like a baby mm-hmm. listening when to that song.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, and just like we were talking how Honey was created to have this, like, determination, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's one of the things in him that the Lord knit together for you. I would say one of the things is joy is knit together all through you from the time somebody meets you while they're talking to you, like you. And so like that's sweet that that scripture was something that anchored you, because nobody can take away what the Lord, like our identity is in him, mm-hmm. the things he put in us, the way he wired us. And mm-hmm. he was like, I'm delighted in exactly what in my creation, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like even a stroke, even like really difficult days, this is long suffering. This is not a quick fix. Mm-mm. That your joy is still, and your joy is still there.
That's very sweet for you to say. Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, I think one of the things that was not helpful.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
You want to get real down?
I do.
I just think people, especially in the medical field, they'll use the word plateau.
Oh gosh.
And I'm like, you don't know the God that I know. Uh-huh. Because I don't know what that word is.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I rebuke mm-hmm. you, because I do not agree with that. Do not ever use that mm-hmm. on a patient. If you are in the medical field, like you, that should be like in a word of banned words that you should never say. Mm-hmm. Because they said, like, we're not sure what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We're not sure if he's going to remember you. We're not sure if he's going to drive again. We're not mm-hmm. sure if he's going to walk. And I'm just like, yes, all those things are true. But like that can be the same truth as where is he going to go? Like, mm-hmm. like what is possible with the God that we serve?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
So do not say that, especially to someone. I can imagine, like, to Honey, he's like, okay, whatever. You just sit back and relax. But someone that's not a Honey, mm-hmm. that doesn't have that drive in them and that determination, like, that could be so discouraging.
Yeah.
In a time where you don't, like, discourage is not welcomed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, too, they treated him, not everyone, I'm not saying everyone, mm-hmm. but I think a lot of people, because he had a stroke, they just automatically think that he was incompetent and like talk to him like he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. When in all reality, it's like he knew what you were going to say before you even said it.
Yeah.
He just can't tell you he knew mm-hmm. what you were going to say before you said it.
Yeah.
It's like treating them like they're still,
like their mind is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you think they're just sitting in a room mm-hmm. by them. Like, it's just, There's been some, I would say there has been some trying times, obviously with the stroke, but just like certain things in particular, that I was just like, the devil is so real. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so.
Not only is he real, have to remember he comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes.
That's his mission.
Yes.
If he can steal your joy. Like if he can destroy your relationship because you're not patient enough or he's not patient enough. I mean, that's his
MO.
Goal.
Yeah.
I'm coming to kill, steal and destroy.
There was a lot of times where that happened and we had to really take a look out and come back together, because there was times where I was like, what is going on?
And sometimes when I will really stop down and remember that's the enemy's goal, it motivates me more to persevere. I'm
Oh no, you did it. There's a verse that I wrote. I don't even think it's a verse. It's just a quote that I heard that I was like, ooh, this is good. Darkness can't overcome light, but light will overcome darkness.
Yes.
And I was like, doesn't that just sound like music to your ears?
I love that verse.
Put it on a shirt.
Oh my gosh. Because we all know it's true also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's true physically, mm-hmm. if we turned all the lights out in this room and we turned on a light, like,
yep.
we would see it.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And then those of us that follow Jesus that have experienced, you know, spiritual warfare mm-hmm. or dark times or, you know, brokenness, whatever, we've also watched that light does do something.
Yeah.
You know, like whether it's somebody that comes in with carrying peace or joy or patience, like they're bringing light into a dark, and we get to do that. We get to be carriers of those things because of the Spirit in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've all seen it happen if we're believers, you
yeah.
know, so we know that to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do. It's wild.
Mm.
I think also there's another point. God, when people say, like, I think during the time people say, oh, you know, like God only gives you what you handle, what you can handle.
Not helpful.
And I'm like, oh, for the love. Like, yes, this is true. Like yeah. when you're in it, uh-huh. that's the last thing you want to heal. Uh-huh. Here. That yeah. is not helpful.
Yeah.
Just give me a hug.
Give me a hug. People
you know.
Say things like that because they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this season is to say, you don't have to say anything.
You don't.
Just go be present. Give a hug.
Yeah.
If you're going to say anything,
listen.
Say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you don't have to make it make sense.
No.
You don't have
that's
to.
That's not your job.
Like, being present is more impactful
yes.
than saying the right thing.
Yeah.
But we all have the potential to say the wrong thing
yeah.
if we say too much.
Uh-huh.
So 2 words, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or 3 words, I love you.
Or how can I help you?
Like,
how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
How can I help is good too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. I think that's all I wrote for. So that's not help. That doubt, like, you know, that doubt's not good.
Yeah.
I think that's all I had.
Well, I think one of the things, Taylor, that would land in the what was helpful category is the writing of the book.
Mm.
And remind me how that came about, because I know it's your speech therapist that y'all got to know
mm-hmm.
at that time in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I know y'all partnered with her.
Yes, she's the
best.
But,
like, was it her suggestion to put this in a book? Because this is a project that you and Samad worked on together.
Yes. So we had kept in contact with that speech pathologist.
Mm-hmm.
We fell in love with her
mm-hmm.
and we had kept in contact, and we would reach out every, you know, every so often, just like, hey, how are you? You know,
mm-hmm.
and every time we met, she was just like, you guys are just, your story and who you two are as a couple
mm-hmm.
and what you stand for is so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to, like, encapsulate that. So
yeah.
how are we going to do that? We're just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Well, one time she was like, okay, no, I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
And honey was like, okay. Yeah, what should we do?
You're like, we already have a mountain to climb.
Yeah, exactly. And so honey was like, well, what about a book? And at the time, I was a nanny. Since we moved to Texas, I've been either a nanny or a house manager. And I was like, what if we wrote a children's book?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, like, it's like that cartoon when, like, the light bulb mm-hmm. above your head and, like, everyone's like, oh,
you
my gosh.
You get excited
this is...
about
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So honey wrote the story, actually, which is great. And then I was like, okay, whenever I read a children's book, it was our co-author, Nicole. So Nicole Link is her name. She's the best person
mm-hmm.
ever. We also call her, like, our... Like our manager, like our,
yeah.
What is it called? Like, I don't know. She's like, cause we went back to Ohio and she, like, organized all the stops that were, like, kind of like
yeah.
our tour manager.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I guess it was like a her and honey wrote it. But then
okay.
I was like, what about if we do a kid's book? And whenever I read kids' books to my nanny kids,
yeah,
I was like, I loved writing and listening and reading the ones that rhymed.
Yeah.
And so I was like, why don't we do a rhyming kids book?
Most of it rhymes, doesn't it?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Nicole, that's where Nicole came in. And she her brain is beautiful.
It does take a certain brain to be able to do
it. Oh my gosh.
I'm just
not my
say.
Brain. So it's so funny because how we all work together, this is how well we work. Honey's very black and white. And I will
mm-hmm.
say that has come. I feel like I've always been black and white, but more so now that I'm married to Honey.
Yeah.
I see things very black and white. So that was his thing. Nicole, her brain is beautiful. She's brilliant. And she has the patience of a saint. She's just so funny and she's hilarious. And then I bring in the detail. I'm very detail oriented. Mm-hmm. I like the detail. I like looking for little things. So like throughout the book, you'll find like a coffee cup. Cause like I said, every morning before I went to therapy, I get Starbucks and like my hair's obviously curly and the skin, you know, like all the things. So
I mean, and you have on some great earrings.
Thanks. Thank you very much. So we, after that, was like, okay, well, let's do an illustrator who can illustrate the book.
Yeah, she did a great job.
She did a great job. Was a husband and wife duo. And yeah, so that's how the book was made. And so the hardest part was illustration. So that took the longest. But the book was written in like, within a month, I would
when
say.
When you first held it, knowing it takes that long, knowing the story is your story, and you're seeing these illustrations with all these little details that make it feel so real. Like, what was going on in your heart when you first held it?
You know, I haven't been asked that question before. Hmm. So, good job, Barbara.
You're welcome.
I think it was all of the emotions. Mm-hmm. Like, how far we have come from that moment. Like, going back and, like, looking on the page of, like, when he was in the hospital bed and, like, the doctor came and talked to us. Like, all of that. And then from like the therapy and then like the ending page is obviously the best. And just like thinking of how far we've come in the past 7 years is wild to think about. But like also like what an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Not everyone can say that they're an author.
Right.
You know, like thank you, Lord, that you were able to give us that.
Also an author of a book that helps people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was like our main goal. That was our main goal. Because we're like, how can we use our story to transform?
It is a children's book, but what I'm going to say is, because I'm holding it and reading it, this would be helpful to anybody whose loved one had a stroke.
Bingo! So we wanted it to be simple enough so Honey couldn't understand it when he had a stroke, but also for the caregiver who was taking care of the Honey.
Because you become an expert in something you never wanted to be an expert 100%. In, but when it's happening to you, you don't know anything about it.
Yes.
You don't know anything.
Uh-huh.
And so you're starting at ground zero.
Yeah. So we did our story and in the back of the book, which you can get our book, it's called Only Rainbows After Rain.
Tell them what it's called and where to find it.
So yes, Amazon, it's on sale on Amazon. Only Rainbows After Rain, The Magic of Stroke Recovery by Samad and Taylor Nakumbi with Nicole Link. And in the back of the book, we have Q&As, just like your typical questions. What is a stroke? How it can, you know, and then glossary. So like words, a lot of the times that we're like, okay, you're speaking a different language, like break it down.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the wildest parts. So we launched it May 9th, which was his 7th year anniversary of his stroke. I would honestly, I don't know exactly, don't quote me on this, a month or two after we launched the book, our pastor, Jeremy, our West Fort Worth campus pastor, love him. He's been a great mentor to Honey. I want to say it was his sister, I believe, had a stroke. And his girls read our book. So they knew exactly what to expect. And I was like, God, that is the exact reason why we wrote this book.
And also 7 years. There's something about that because, you know, 7 in the Bible means completion. And so for it to come
out. Shut up. Shut your mouth. I did not know that.
And so for it not to come out year 5 or year 8 after his stroke is a really sweet thing too. Yeah.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Look at you dropping facts.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like the details. This is the thing.
The detail. My gosh. I did not know that. That's amazing.
The thing is that whether, like, again, whether it is celebration or whether it is devastating, the Lord's in it. He wants us to know he's in it. He wants us to know that he can, you know, all the things. And so, like, he'll just keep revealing himself over and over.
Wild. Can you talk about your favorite part of that book?
Well, I will. I think my favorite part is what I was about to ask you next.
Oh, okay. We're on the same page here, guys.
You think we're on the same page?
I think so. Let's see.
I want you to tell the story about Samad seeing the deer at his window.
Yes, we are on the same page. Okay, so it was his last day of speech pathology.
In Ohio.
In Ohio. Before we before he graduated.
New. This is still like...
Fields are still feeling.
Yeah. Within a month and a half of the strip, this is happening. Yeah.
We were in speech pathology with obviously the author, co-author of this book. And all of a sudden she had these big bay windows in her office. And on the back of it was I wouldn't say it was a forest, but it was trees. And this baby deer came in up to the window. Mm-hmm. I would say about, I don't know, 30 feet. And locked eyes with Honey. Like, just stood there.
Through the window.
Through the window. For probably, I don't know, 30 seconds. But then decided to come up to the window mm-hmm. and, like, rub his body or her body, I don't know, against the window, like the building. Mm-hmm. And so Nicole and I, and Honey's like, okay, guys, like, come on. We got mm-hmm. things to do. This is my last day. Mm-hmm. We got, you know, staying task here. Nicole and I start bawling, right? So I'm like, this has to mean something. Mm-hmm. What does this mean? Mm-hmm. And
before you say what it means...
Maybe you should read it word for word. I'm not from Ohio.
I don't know anything. I mean, like, I know very little about the Midwest. Is Ohio the Midwest? See, I don't know. but, like, I don't think of Ohio and deer in the same sentence. Like, yeah. Is it common to see deer in Ohio?
I mean, it is considered, I would say, I don't know if it's considered the Midwest.
That's just what I'm like, I don't know. Like, we need somebody from Ohio to call us right now and tell us, yes, they're everywhere. Yeah, or no, right? That's yeah. not. Like,
someone
I don't
call
know.
In. I don't know.
When I think of Ohio, I don't think deer.
Me like, neither. Me neither. Yeah, I would say, I don't think of deer either. So, well, basically what it meant, I don't know, you can probably read it verbatim, but it basically was like,
So in the middle of therapy session, you're pulling out your phone to Google.
What and Honey's rolling his eyes at me like, okay, lady, get it together. What is it? Yeah. Read that. Okay. Read what it says.
It says, Taylor pulled out her phone and quickly discovered that deer symbolize growth, rebirth, devotion, and the assurance that God is watching over his children. Yeah.
Crazy.
I know. So beautiful.
I was speechless.
I will say after losing my mom, the thought came to me that the Creator can do anything with his created.
Mm.
Anything. Like, he created the deer. So mm-hmm. The deer will do anything that the Creator asks. Mm. You know, it's like, just a amazing thing to think about.
Like how close we felt to him at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on it now was like, was like a reassurance, you know, like.
Well, and you said, okay, guys, I cried.
Mm-hmm.
I let the Lord know every feeling I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I was praying, you know, like. You are laying your heart out before him every night mm-hmm. in this hospital room for a month and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so do we expect him to answer or do we not? Like,
yeah.
He's like, okay, Taylor, every single day for a month yeah. and a half, you've been saying,
yeah.
God, I'm angry about this. This is how I really feel about this, mm-hmm. but I still have hope and I still have joy, you know? And then he's like, on the last day, I'm going to have a deer yep. come up and not just, uh-huh. not just seeing a deer out a window, but like, if he could have come in, he would have come in.
I mean, if that door is open, he would probably jump in my lap, okay? Jump in my lap and have some of my coffee.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, that was, it's wild. It was wild.
The deer symbolize growth, rebirth, devotion, and the assurance that God is watching over his children. Mm. And you and Samad could both testify to every single one of those things.
Yeah.
All these years later.
When you say it like that, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why your story is so helpful.
It's because a wild one.
You know, like, your circumstances didn't change. I mean, things got better and he's able to do all the things that, well, not all the things, but you know what I mean? Like, things that you didn't know he was going to be able mm-hmm. to do.
Yeah.
But you're still living a life that is, you're aware every day in some capacity mm-hmm. that he had a stroke,
mm-hmm.
you know? And mm-hmm. so, God's still watching over you.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah. I also think too, when we think of like, I think if he, I, I think it's normal for people to think, oh, like, what would our life have, like, what would it, what, mm-hmm. what could had it been? Like, mm-hmm. What were, where would we be now if he didn't have a stroke? It's like, you know, I have like four kids and be a stay at home mom and just mm-hmm. like living my best life. And part of me feels like there's a reason. I mean, obviously the purpose, right? Purpose mm-hmm. of Honey's stroke, but there's a reason why we haven't had kids yet. And what is that mm-hmm. going to look like mm-hmm. when we do, mm-hmm. you know? So just trusting that, like, he knows that I wanted to be a wife. Is in the circumstance that I wanted? Mm-hmm. Probably not. Yeah. I mean, I wanted this big wedding, this beautiful mm-hmm. ring. Like, I wanted, like, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Taylor, you're going to actually get married in your clubhouse with, like, 30 people. Mm-hmm. And your dress is going to be from Amazon. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm going to bring you down, girl. Mm-hmm. Like, you need, mm-hmm. you're, like, you need to come down to my level. And, like, get real with me. And that was probably one of the moments where I was like, God, 100%, like, what did I learn from it, right? What did I learn from Honey Stroke? I think a lot of people learned a lot of things, but one of the things that I learned was I could have a wedding. I could have this mm-hmm. big, gorgeous wedding. I could have that mm-hmm. big, gorgeous ring. And I could, you know, all these things. But, like, if the person that you want to get married to isn't there, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
then what does it matter? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Honey has taught me, I think both of us, I mean, for sure, patience. Because, mm-hmm. you know, this isn't, like, the life that we had obviously thought for ourselves. But, like, taking a step back and just realizing that even though you had these plans set out for you and you had your, I mean, I had mm-hmm. my whole life planned out. I used to use a planner to, like, tell me what I was going to have for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Okay. So every single moment had been planned. And so it just, like, really threw me for a curveball when Honey had a stroke. And so just, like, taking a step back and just realizing, like, the small things. Mm-hmm. And when we have kids someday, like, I would love to be a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be possible? Like, all these yeah. things are still
unknown
mm-hmm. and there's still gonna be things unknown when we have kids and when we're mm-hmm. you know 50 and like so when we think of like all the unknown things that we have been through that were unknown and now we are here it mm-hmm. just makes me think like okay like there was once an unknown that I had no mm-hmm. idea what was gonna mm-hmm. happen and look yeah. where we are now.
Well, when we plan for ourselves.
God laughs at us.
I don't know if he laughs at us.
He laughs. Saying,
when we plan for ourselves. When he plans, he's planning for eternity. And so our plans aren't always going to work out the way mm-hmm. that we want them to. Mm-hmm. Because when he's planning for eternity.
And I'm so, thinking of like the now, like uh-huh. for me only. That's mm-hmm. a good point.
And so he's going, you know what, Taylor, there's nothing wrong with that plan. That's a beautiful plan. That's a beautiful dream. But it's not going to accomplish all of this that I have for all my sons and daughters. And so I think he will allow some of our dreams and our plans to not happen because he's seen everything else. And he's like, if you're really going to have a heart that loves me mm-hmm. and is going to look for me, eventually you're going to use your story mm-hmm. to help all these people out here mm-hmm. that I am planning for. And so because you and Samad are willing, now your story is helping other people.
Yeah.
And they weren't even in your plan.
No.
They weren't in your plan.
A book was not in our plan.
But they were in his plan. Mm-hmm. And so it's really beautiful to get glimpses of, oh, he's allowing this. I'm not saying it was his plan, but he is allowing this because he knows all the hearts mm-hmm. that need to know him. And mm-hmm. he's using your story to introduce him.
And what an honor.
Amen. And I say this all the time to our Wednesday night women's group. If I posted a sign that said, sign up for suffering here, nobody would be in line. Nobody would be in line.
No one. You would not have one person.
And yet what you just said, what an honor that he would use us and use our story mm-hmm. to help other people.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Oh my goodness.
So okay. crazy. Honey's always wanted to be a motivational speaker. And I'm mm-hmm. like, honey, this is just another thing to like add mm-hmm. to your list of things that God has in store for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you just,
His... Well, I encourage y'all to dream bigger now because of, you know.
Maybe you're going to be our second tour manager.
I'll do it. Taylor, as we, I thank you for, honestly, it wasn't my plan for you to be the last story in the season. But I'm laughing now because I'm like, the Lord knew.
The Lord knew.
That we're ending this season with a lot of joy. Next week, after Taylor's story, we are going to repost the panel from Wonder Conference because we just wanted that documented with all these stories. And so there'll be one more week, guys, until 2026.
Crazy.
Only what the Lord tells us to do will we do.
Love it.
But there is a paragraph in the intro of your book that I would love for you to just read.
I'd love
to. Close and just read this over our listeners, because I feel like we don't know yet the hearts that this is going to touch, but the Lord does. And so I think it would be really cool for you to read this in your voice from you and Samad. And then, of course, Romans 12:12 is at the end.
Obviously.
So, yeah. Will you close us out with that?
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me and let me do this. This has been truly a gift from the Lord. Okay. So it says, for anyone who has felt like giving up, for anyone that feels different or not enough, and for anyone that needs a sign that the hardships and struggles are always worth it, let this book be a reminder that you are enough, you are of value, and you matter. And always, always, always remember that there are only rainbows after rain.
Love you, Taylor.
I love you.